My name is Grover Shannon. I'm now a professor emeritus at the University of Missouri Delta Center, and I'm soybean genetics and breeding. I'm in soybean genetics and breeding. Formerly endowed chair of University of Missouri endowed chair of soybean genetics and breeding.
And so do you work out of the Fisher Delta Research Center?
That's where I work, out of the Fisher Delta Research Center.
Wanted to talk to you about your research about flood-tolerant soybean varieties. Certainly now, when so many farmers are struggling just to get their soybeans in Missouri with all this wet weather, this is an interesting time to talk about this. Tell us what you have found out.
Well, actually, what we found, we've been working on it several years. The problem now with the varieties we have today, there's a very narrow genetic base. In other words, a lot of the varieties now that we all have all over the United States are genetically pretty closely related. So there are differences among varieties we have now, but the tolerance really isn't strong enough. In other words, you do see some that are a little bit more tolerant than others. Some varieties are more tolerant than others, but for the most part, we don't have enough tolerance, like when you get into some extreme flooding conditions. And basically, what we did is we have nearly 20,000 germplasm accessions in the USDA collection, and all of these are called plant introductions, and these plant introductions were collected over a number of years from Southeast Asia and places like that. Like the center of origin of soybeans are like China, Korea, Japan, Eastern Russia, and like Thailand, and places like that in Southeast Asia. So that's where all our genetic diversity is. But since our varieties today just trace to a few lines, very few, maybe 30 ancestors, none of those lines really have a lot of flood tolerance. So we went into the germplasm collection, those maybe 20,000, and we started looking we maybe screened 2,000 or 3,000, something like that, for flooding tolerance, 3,000 lines for flooding tolerance. And basically what we found is that some of the plant introductions appeared to have a lot more flooding tolerance than, say, the varieties we now have. In other words, instead of losing... like some of the varieties lose 70% of their yield, they can get, and sometimes even a total loss, depending on the extreme flooding conditions. But we did find some that took flooding a lot better. I doubt we'll ever find a soybean that'll go and stand in water, but we did find some, like after a 3 or 4 day flooding, we found some that held up better than others. So why it's so important is not only because of the rain we just had in the wet spring, but we have a lot of farmers, especially in the southern United States, that irrigate. We got farmers that are very interested in this project because they can irrigate. They may irrigate, and then their field is wet, and then they'll get a huge rain right after they irrigate, and their soil is saturated really bad, and they get flooding injury. And basically what flooding injury does, when you got a lot of water, it cuts all oxygen out off to the roots. The plants don't, soybeans usually make their own nitrogen, but it cuts down on the nitrogen fixation. Plants become stunted. They turn yellow, and actually they can die. And even after the flooding is over, some of them don't recover at all. They may not ever really fully recover. And then when you get in all those wet conditions, you actually get diseases that come in, like Phytophthora root rot. That's a major disease of soybeans. So what we did is we screened these plant introductions, and We found a few, seems like we found some from Korea and China that were origins of there that do stand up to water better. And what we did is we took these plant introductions, we crossed them to some of the very elite high-yielding varieties that we now have to try to add the tolerance. And we've also wanted to find out what genes were responsible, but working with Dr. Henry Nguyen, N-G-U-Y-E-N, at the University of Missouri, and Dorrance out of Ohio State University. These people, she's more of a disease specialist, Anne is, but she's very, she's an expert on Phytophthora root rot. We actually found some alleles or some genes that were related to flood tolerance. And one of the genes that we found a couple that were, one of the genes was specifically flooding tolerance. The other gene was related to resistance to Phytophthora root rot. And most of the damage that we see on flooding is on these very heavy, slowly drained clays that we have in the Mississippi Delta. A lot of these fields are very flat. A lot of them are level to where there's no slope at all. In other words, there's zero grade. And they grow, a lot of these fields are rice fields. They like to grow rice and rotate rice with soybeans. And of course, in rice, you want the fields to hold the water. But in soybeans, it's just the opposite. You do, you know, they need water, but you don't need too much water. So, but anyway, we were in these crosses, we actually found some genes that were, that had, that showed that they were tolerant to, that helped with the flooding tolerance. And we did yield test some of these lines that we made the crosses for the flooding tolerance, and we found that some of the lines, we compared them to varieties that farmers now grow. I mean, we compared them to, they were in the same maturity as what farmers grow when we planted them. And the, like a variety that the farmers normally grow, one of the varieties, it yielded maybe 10 bushels per acre. And some of these flood-tolerant varieties yielded three times more. Even though they were injured, they yielded like 30 bushels so they per acre, over 30. So they were three times better in yield. We like this. We think that's promising. We're also looking, we've got other sources that we're looking at that hopefully we can combine and even get higher tolerance. But the main thing now is that we've got to get a flood-tolerant variety that yields as well without flooding as it does under flooding. In other words, a farmer may not have a flooding problem every year, but we got to have something that's going to yield well in the absence of flooding, going to yield just as well as what he now grows. But under flooding, it's he's going to have a lot more protection from the flooding injury.
So what kind of yield would you want to see then across the board under the flooding scenario?
Well, the most of the field we're working on is probably the worst case scenario is these heavy clays. There's 8 million acres of these heavy clays in the Delta. And that's where the soils are the finest and there's the least amount of drainage on these fields, these slowly drained fields. That's where we're really working toward in these areas. And we're working mainly on maturity groups 3, 4, and 5. That's where we're working because that's the important maturity groups in Missouri. But we're also working, we've had a grant from the United Soybean Board. We're working with Dr. Chen, Dr. P-E-N-G-Y-N, Punyin Chen at the University of Arkansas to develop flood tolerance. So we want to see it that'll do well, you know, just about on any soil type, but where we work the most is on the slowly drained.
Well, you said three times more, but would you want it like more like 7 or 8 times more?
Well, yeah, certainly. We'd love for it not to. In other words, it depends on the stage of flooding. The earlier the stage, if the plants live, actually they can recover. But we want something to be able to recover and make a full yield without the flooding. We'd want something that, if, say, the normal yield under ideal conditions is 60 bushels per acre. We'd want that same flood-tolerant varieties to yield 60 bushels per acre under flooding as well as without flooding.
Sure.
We would love to see no injury. But so far, we found that I don't care. There's always going to be some injury, but what we're finding, what we've added in some of these genes show less injury than others. And much better, much less injury compared to what we have now. So I think that's important to a farmer. You know, the prices are kind of low right now. The prices are low, and a farmer gets some severe flood injury, and he only makes, say, in a scenario, he only makes 25 or 30 bushels under flooding. Well, if he can make his noise, he just can't stand that kind of yield loss, and he'll be in trouble, and he could put him out of business. And we have a lot of farmers. That have this problem. You know, they're always asking, well, how long should I irrigate? They're scared to irrigate too long, and because of the flooding injury. But what we need to do is to give the farmer protection and give him some insurance against heavy flooding. And that's the goal. And we're trying to find genes, and we're trying to put genes together that are going to yield well no matter where he puts them. And that's the scenario. Although we know we've got some of these genes, we've got to get these into very high-yielding varieties.
Sure.
And the first goal is to get him at least, right now, we think we can help him a good bit where he won't yield as lose as much, but the whole goal is to get it where he loses less than 10% yield due to flooding compared to non-flooding, you know. So, but we also screen all of the varieties in the Missouri soybean variety test. Maybe 200 of those varieties we screen each year, and in the meantime, we'll tell the farmers which varieties are least likely to be injured as much. So if he's got a flooding problem, he at least help him a little bit by choosing a variety that's less sensitive to flooding.
Sure.
Because there are differences in varieties right now. So what we do to help the farmer is to, okay, you're not going to get full coverage. You still could get injury, but this is probably your best choice to avoid as much of that right now as possible. Another thing we tell farmers, instead of planting flat, like the ground on the flat, we ask the farmer to pull up a row or a bed. If a farmer can pull up a bed, like to raise, he can plant on like a little ridge within these fields, it can help him to where it gets the beans up out of the water a little bit and they just don't sit there as long. Even if he can get the beans up out of the water a couple of inches, it can make a difference. So the main thing now is to choose a flood-tolerant variety and then try to plant on a bed till we find. And these flood, we're getting there. I mean, we just need to get something that we're testing these things every year. We've got tests that maybe when you come to the Delta Center this summer, we can go out and look at some of these lines and can see the differences.
I'd very much like to do that. I'd like to do that.
Yeah, okay.
Tell me about this year. Okay. How much rain is it? Have you gotten down in the Boot Heel? Is this a year that's pretty bad for flooding? And I'm sorry, I'm not down there, and I haven't talked to a farmer from there lately.
Yeah, well, it's probably not as bad as, say, in the northwest, north Missouri area. Missouri's been a hard hit.
Yes.
And there have been some other places where rain has been a lot worse, but we're a lot better off in southern Missouri than they are in northern Missouri. From what I understand, the flooding's been so bad in northern Missouri. Here at this date, it's the 25th of, or 26th, is it 25th of June?
26th, yeah.
Yeah, here it is, and just a little more than half the acreage is planted.
I know.
It's getting so late.
Yeah.
It may not be to the farmer's advantage to plant at all. In other words, he may not be recovered as an investment of the seed and the herbicides. His yield will be, anytime you plant after June, you know, depends on where you are, but a general route, anytime after June the 10th, at least in the boot heel, you're going to lose a bushel, a half a bushel a day.
Yeah. I've talked to some farmers up there who have got nothing in for soybeans, and their corn
is
in bad shape. So it's a mess.
We only have 5.3 million acres of beans. Missouri, we may only have 4 million this year because the farmer just can't get them planted.
Yeah, I think we're at the bottom of the list of states.
Yeah, it's bad. We just hope the farmers got some insurance.
Right. Yeah. Before I let you go, I wanted to ask you about the flood-tolerant varieties, a potential in the rest of the Corn Belt. Of course, it would also have benefits for those farmers as well, outside of the Delta.
They are not working very much on flood tolerance in the northern U.S. Since they don't irrigate as much down here, down up there. And I think that they don't normally have these issues. I don't think they, from, you know, like central Illinois or central Missouri north, like, you know, they're probably... they probably don't screen any varieties for that. There's been a little work done, but very little. I don't think anybody or soybean breeders where the main body or the soybeans are grown in the U.S., where probably 75% of the soybeans are grown, I doubt there's been very little research done on flood intolerance. Where 75 or 80% in the Midwest and on up, there's just very little work done. I doubt anybody knows which varieties are better than others in those earlier maturity groups that are grown, you know, from central Missouri, central Illinois, and north. There's just very little information.
Interesting.
Most of the work that's been done has been done in the southern United States.